Chapter 3. From Negative Thinking to Positive Love. A friend once told me that I'm a sufferer. I didn't know what he meant, and at the same time, I knew exactly what he meant. Things could be so good, and then I would always find something really stupid to get upset about. I was simply in the emotional habit of focusing on the negative. I had yet to learn that to a very large extent we are responsible for our own happiness. According to A Course in Miracles, happiness is a decision we must make. And who among us hasn't made decisions that were bound to make us suffer? There are always things to be happy about, and there are always things to be sad about. The bridge to a happier life is more an emotional decision than a change in circumstance. Life really is like a piece of wet clay, and every thought we think gives it shape. A happy life can have sad days, but when you've mastered the fundamentals of a basically happy worldview, you attract more situations that prove your worldview correct. And what could be a happier worldview than that love is real and nothing else exists? The trick, of course, is that it's hard to stay loving in a loveless world. And yet with God, it's possible. When we spend more time working to view life through loving eyes, and less time trying to figure out why we're unhappy to begin with, then our lives transform much faster. The ego loves to foster the delusion that we're powerless before our suffering. And for some people, that is clearly true. But for most of us, that attitude is a self-defeating game we play, guaranteed to keep happiness at a distance and always and forever, maybe someday. Our capacity to change our minds is the greatest gift that God has given us, and it is also the most powerful. He is present within us in any moment to help us return our minds to love. In my experience, the key to happiness lies in getting over yourself. The happiest times in my life have been when I was more involved in something I was doing for others than in something I was doing for myself. Any perception that focuses only on our separate needs will ultimately breed fear, and any perception that focuses on our oneness with others breeds peace. Many people struggle and fail to find peace within themselves because they don't really realize who their self is. That's why the ego is so dangerous. It would have us believe that we are separate when in fact we're not. We can't have inner peace unless we feel complete within ourselves, and we can't feel complete outside our connection with other people. You cannot find yourself by only looking to yourself, because in essence, that is not where you are. The real you is an expanded self, literally one with the entire world. And so we find ourselves in relation to the whole. We cannot be happy unless we are wishing everyone the same. Generosity, in that sense, is an act of self-interest, and I have seen it too many times to doubt it, as long as I remember that the love I seek can only be found as I extend my love to others, then peace comes fairly easily. It's when we forget that, that quite literally all hell breaks loose. Love extended is the key to happiness. Love withheld is the key to pain. A walk with God. I used to hear the old gospel song talking about a closer walk with thee, and I thought the image was sweet but quaint. Taking a walk with God is actually more than that, however, because, metaphysically, our walk means our line of thinking. To pray for a closer walk with God is to pray for help in thinking more spiritual thoughts, not because we want to be a religious goody-goody, but because we don't want to sabotage our lives the way we did in the past. We're asking that our thoughts and actions be guided by God now and always. Being distant from God means thinking whatever we're thinking without any sacred touchstone for our perception. Since we've been trained by the thinking of the world, without God's guidance, we're liable to reach instinctively for thoughts that are judgmental, blaming, or unforgiving. And thus, we remain in the hell of separation from the experience of God's love. A closer walk with God means narrowing the gap between our thoughts and God's thoughts. How many times have we done things we came later to regret? For no other reason than that at that particular moment we were not in touch with our higher selves. We were allowing a fear-based imposter self to pose as who we are, while our essential loving self lay buried and bereft beneath the illusions of our unsatisfied lives. It takes mental discipline to retrain our minds, yet such retraining is imperative if we really want to change our lives. With every inspirational reading, time taken to meditate, or act of forgiveness, or charity, or love, we are shrinking the influence of fear in our lives. We can't change other people's thinking, but in fact we don't need to, because all minds are joined. All we have to do is change our own thinking, and as we do, the world will change with us. We're not separate from God, we just think we are. What God creates is one with Him forever, as an idea cannot leave its source. He is love, and He is all that is. Therefore, when we're not thinking with love, we're actually not thinking at all. We're hallucinating. And that's what this world is, in fact, a vast hallucination of the mortal mind. We're separated from our own reality by a veil of illusion, and within that illusion, we feel great fear. Imagine if God was holding your hand, and the next moment, you couldn't find Him. He seemed to have disappeared. Would not feelings of panic set in immediately? Such is our despair. All religions propose to cure our despair by lifting the veil of illusion. Some of them say it will lift after we die. Others suggest it can be lifted while we're still on earth. From a miracle-minded perspective, the glory of God lies not just in what He will reveal to us later, but in what He can and will reveal to us now. Let's say God has given you a tremendous gift, one you feel could be very helpful right now in the transformation of the world. Yet you don't have access to the people or circumstances that could pave the way for you to express that gift. God can arrange all kinds of things, but He will not determine your choices for you. If you do not choose to deal with the personal issues that keep you from expressing yourself at your highest, then you are choosing to block your own way. And God Himself will bow before that choice because the gift of free will was given you at your creation. Yet He will move heaven and earth to help you choose again. He will find a way to offer you the chance to live a different life. All thought extends itself into the world. If it was a thought of love, then more love is on its way out there and back around to us. If it was a thought of fear, then fear is on its way out there and around as well. We cannot interfere with what happens between cause, which is the level of consciousness, and effect, which is the level of the world. God Himself will not intervene between cause and effect, as the law was set up for our protection. But we are always free to choose another thought, and that is our miracle. When cause with a little c, the thinking of the ego, is replaced with cause with a big C, the mind of God, the world of effects will change accordingly. God has created the Holy Spirit as a bridge in perception from the outer realms of anxiety and despair to the inner realms of peace and joy. And the Holy Spirit is always on the case, empowered by God Himself to deliver us from the ego's vain imaginings. Yet just knowing that He is there and affirming Him by whatever name we call it does not of itself take us there. The miracle happens when we truly step back and let Him lead the way. When we disconnect from the worldly realms, if only for a moment, and sink into a place of radical availability. It's only when we are empty of, or at least unimpressed by, our own thoughts that the Holy Spirit can fill us with His. There is a way of being in the world that transcends the world, a way of being regular people and miracle workers at the same time. We become the lamps that shed the light that emanates from the electricity of God. No one feels deeply at home on this plane. It's not where we come from, and it's not where we are ultimately headed. It's a place we stay but for a little while, beautiful and blessed, when we allow our perceptions of it to be overshadowed by His, but a way station nonetheless. We are here because we have a mission, to be the love which is missing in a loveless world, and thus reclaim this darkened world for light.